Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay? I got that on. Good. Thank you, Brother Mike, for the songs this morning. I appreciated what you said about love lifted me and how you replaced the word Jesus. And it reminded me of Brother Cecil Batstone. I have so many fond memories of Brother Cecil and how he used to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in replacing word charity or love with the name of Christ. It's because certainly the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest love of all, and we can easily replace his name. Then I remember him also talking about the book of Proverbs, and every time you see the word wisdom, to replace the name of Jesus Christ in there. You remind me, I'm going to do that again soon. So I encourage you all perhaps to try to do that. I like to read a portion that I've been in quite a bit in the last few months, several months now. I have to say it's become a very personal portion of Scripture for me. Yet it's a very familiar portion. I have to say I probably learned it 54 years ago. But I learned it in Latin, and I didn't understand a word I said. And we all know the portion I'm talking about, the Lord's Prayer. And I wanted to talk a little bit more on that this morning. I did mention some things about it in the last few months and some of my other messages, but I'd like to just expand on some of the thoughts in the Lord's Prayer that the Lord has shared with me. And perhaps we can think of using the Lord's Prayer as a way to encourage ourselves, because I think most everybody knows it. If you were brought up in most any religion, you learn the Lord's Prayer. Any Christian religion, and I find that it's very helpful, as the Lord intended, that it be used as a guide for prayer, not as a rote prayer that we should recite and repeat many, many times to chalk up credit for God, but rather that it's an outline for us to think about God in a certain way. And it's interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ himself uses this format in such a way that I think is a real blessing when you think about it and just really look at what he's saying. So I'd like us to turn to Matthew chapter 6, if you don't mind. As I said, most people are familiar with this portion of Scripture. But as I was reminded earlier by Brother Robin, the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And it's so familiar to us, and we can go back to it anytime. I know this is Matthew's favorite gospel, and it certainly is one of the best. Remember, this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ as presented as the King of Israel. But let me just read the portion I have in mind here this morning. Beginning at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just bow our hearts before thee this morning and just humbly ask that you would help us as we look into these few words, these short sentences in the Word of God, and to try to encourage our own hearts as you would have us do, Lord, in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank thee for these words and pray your guidance and blessing upon them as we muse upon them this morning. So I say as an encouragement, I encourage myself in the Lord to pray every day. And I do use this prayer many times as a guide in my thoughts. And through the days that I've been doing this, the Lord has given me quite a few thoughts about the Lord and this prayer, or this guide for prayer. And as you remember, in the context of this, he said that he didn't want people to be hypocrites, and for their long prayers, standing in the synagogue and on the corner streets. But he says, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which is in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, That always spoke to me. Use not vain repetitions. But when I learned that prayer, I learned it to be a vain repetition. Whether I said it in Latin or whether I said it in English, it was something I just did. I'll do five of them. And I remember people telling me that I should say so many of them to be contrite for my sins. But the Lord doesn't want us to be that way. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants to take these thoughts and use them as a guide for our thoughts in the presence of God. And it's interesting, you could break this prayer up into two basic parts. The first part I call worship. And many times I'll have to admit when I'm using the Lord's Prayer, I only get halfway through it because I've spent so much time in worship. And that's the first three verses, which starts at 9. He says, first two verses, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And that's an invitation for us to worship the Father. Think of that. We're able to worship the Father. The Jews in the Old Testament were not allowed to worship the Father. He was Yahweh. He was God. The name that could not be said. They would, under their breath, even possibly say the name of God because they feared him so much. As we should. We should fear him. But he's given us an invitation to call him Father, just as the Lord Jesus Christ calls him Father. So I think this is a real encouragement for us that we're invited to speak to the Father, and we're first off told here that where he is, who he is, he's the Father, and that's the personal relationship we have with him. But we must keep in mind that he's the Father that is in heaven. He's not around here on earth except by the Holy Spirit. But yet he's in heaven. And we should acknowledge that he is the glorious King. And we are to praise him and give him the honor that's due his name. And we should go to the Father in understanding that he loved us. And this, I'd be remiss if I did not bring out the gospel this morning. I don't know that everybody in this room is saved. But if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, then you can't call him Father. We sang that beautiful hymn earlier this morning. "Behold what love, what boundless love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Are you a son of God? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's where you must start. It must start in a relationship. Any relationship, even on this earth, starts with a mother and father. And so too, to be born again, we start with our Father, which art in heaven. And we acknowledge that his name is hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. We worship him, and we give him the full honor and glory that's due God because of who he is and where he is and what he has done. He's created the whole world. He's created the universe. He's created all things, and he's our Father, which is in heaven. But we see in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So as we come to the Father, we recognize our sinful condition. We realize that we're lost. And then we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we're reminded that when he died on the cross, he shed his precious blood for our sins. Because if we are to die in our sins, if we're only born once, we'll be dead forever. We'll die twice. But if we're born again, we become the child of God. And it's unto them that believe on him, not by the power of the flesh, not by the will of men, but by the will of God. Not even by the will of blood, John chapter 1 says. We can't inherit it. As well-intentioned our parents might be to want us to see us to live for God, we can't inherit Christianity. We can't inherit Christ. We must individually receive him as our Lord and Savior. But before we do that, we need to understand that we are lost and in our sin, without hope and without God in the world, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And it's through that we become the children of God by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are children by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you want, to Galatians. This is a beautiful verse. Chapter 3 and verse 26. It says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." By faith in Christ Jesus. That's how we become the children of God. And not by works, we read in Ephesians, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. According to his grace he saves us by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we're children of God by faith. Now faith is a very powerful word, and there's much to be said about the word faith. But it's very simply just trusting in the Lord. My title for this whole section is, for us to understand, as we enter into the thoughts about our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation, and who we're thanking, who we're worshiping, and who we're praising, who in whom we are adoring, we're to be mindful of this one thing as we go through this first section, and that is, and it was said earlier today, and I stole it from whoever said it, I can't remember, the Lord is in control. He is in control of all things. Before we were born, he was in control of everything. Before the world was created. And even after we're gone, and after the world is burnt up in fire, God is in control. So as we come to him as our Father, and as we worship him and adore him, we're acknowledging who he is, that he is the one that's in control. And as you take your time to worship and praise him, recognize that he is the one that's in control. He's in control of all things. I've often used the word, I think, I just was thinking of this, the word lucky. We often use that word, lucky. Oh, that was lucky. We use it very casually in our English language. But brothers and sisters, I don't really think there's such a thing as luck. God is in control. And if it seems like it's luck, God's still in control. And that's an amazing thought to me. I don't understand everything around me and how it's happening and why it's happening. But you know what? That's okay, too. That's part of understanding who the Father is, that just because we don't understand everything that's going on around us in our life, God is in control. And we are to just acknowledge that. And that's what I do. I just acknowledge that he is in control. I don't understand it. And I tell him that, too. And Lord, if you want me to understand it, I will. And if eternity you don't want me to understand it, that's okay. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And brothers and sisters, that's my encouragement to each one of our hearts this morning, is that we recognize that God is in control and that he is sovereign over all things, and that whether we understand it or not, I've been reading Job lately, and some of the things he was saying, it sounded like he was on the brink of giving up. But the portion I just read, I think it was in chapter 25 or 6, where he says, you know what, no matter what happens, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. He knew then that his Redeemer liveth. And brothers and sisters, that's the greatest thing we could ever think about. God is in control, and his Son will stand on the earth. So as we go into that second part of the prayer, hallowed be thy name, we worship and adore him. We recognize that he's good. He's holy. His name is holy. As I said, the Jewish people wouldn't even say his name. But we are able to call him Father. We recognize that he's eternal. He's the creator. He's the master and provider of all things. And he is all-knowing. All-knowing. And he's present everywhere. And he's righteous. And he's great. He's glorious. And he's wise. He's majestic, just, merciful, gracious, and true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. So our Father in heaven is all these things. And we can, in our time together, when we're worshiping the Lord, in our quiet time, whatever time you choose, we can be mindful of these things and remember him. Remember that he sent his Son to die for us, that he loved us with a perfect love, a perfect love. And then we see in the next part of the prayer, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And when we think of the kingdom that's coming, we think that Jesus, he is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. We see in John chapter 1, he was introduced to us as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And we saw that as the Lamb, he went to the cross. He didn't complain. He opened not his mouth. And he suffered, as we were reminded this morning in worship, how he suffered. Yet that didn't take away sin, but it was what he did on the cross that saved us from our sins. He's paid for our sins on the cross at Calvary. So if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to think of that. Consider him, the one that became the Lamb of God, which taketh away your sin. It taketh away the sin of the world. And we see that not only do we have in the Word of God that he was the Lamb of God which came into the world to die such a terrible death, but we also see that he's going to return as the King of Kings. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I love this one. This is a doxology in the Word of God. Another wonderful prayer guide, if you will, thinking about our Lord Jesus Christ. Take the time to be reading this and praying to the Lord as we read it in chapter 6 and beginning at verse 15. Which in his times he shall show, who is blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto. Wow. No man can approach unto his light. But it says, whom no man hath seen, nor can they see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's all these things. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we saw him as the Lamb of God that went to the cross at Calvary and shed his precious blood to die for our sins. But we saw that he was gloriously resurrected. He died, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again from according to the scriptures. And that's the gospel. That's the great news. So that's why I think that this prayer, or this guide for prayer, is so wonderful to us, because it reminds us of how hallowed his name is and that his kingdom is coming. The Lord is coming back. Amen? Amen. Amen. He is coming back. And it could be very soon. We're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. So we see that he came as a lamb and he's going to come back as the King of Kings. And we're instructed, even in Matthew, go turn back to Matthew chapter 6 again. And verse 33. This is, by the way, a wonderful chapter, this whole chapter. The whole Bible is wonderful, but I just love this whole chapter. But here in verse 33, it says, the Lord is speaking here, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we should be seeking the kingdom of God. Yes, we're not going to be here forever. But the kingdom of God is coming, and it's here even now. Where is it? In our hearts. We who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, he is in our heart. The kingdom of God abides in our heart because we've trusted and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that God is our king. In Psalm 52 of chapter 5, verse 2, turn with me because I love this portion as well. Psalms chapter 5. And a group called Maranatha Singers, I think it is, have put these verses to a song, and I enjoy singing these. Give ear, chapter 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Again, the psalmist encouraging us to think about the Lord and how wonderful he is. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. The psalmist recognized that he was his king and he was his God. Unto thee will I pray. Praise the Lord. Who else can we pray to? Who can we pray to? Can we pray to Obama? Can we pray to any other political high power? Who can we pray to? We know we can pray to the Father. He listens to us. And I believe it says in Malachi chapter 3, another 3:16, I love it. It says, he that spoke often one to another, the Lord hearkened and listened. He listened in. When we spoke often of the Lord one to another, the Lord is listening in. He loves it. He loves when his children talk about him. It's just like your own children. You love it when they talk about you in a good way. What? I got to qualify that because we are human after all, right? But no, seriously, the Lord loves it when we're talking about him. He does. So he goes on to say here in verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. That's a good time to pray. Start of the day, in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. Now, whether that means to physically look up, I think it's okay to do that because we see many times the Lord Jesus Christ himself looked up into heaven when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He looked up into heaven and prayed to the Lord. We can do that. Or we can look up in our hearts. It's an attitude, I think, an attitude of prayer, because we recognize that God the Father is in where? Heaven. Where's heaven? Well, we know it's not down below, I don't think. But there's some questions that exactly where. It is in heaven, but I read something recently that suggested it was somewhere in the Orion's Belt area. Because everything is up. Wherever you are, it's up north. Goes to the north, so check it out. But that's purely my thought on that. But somebody may show me some verses later that show us exactly where heaven is. But you know what? Heaven isn't so much where it is, but where our heart is with him. We're with him in heaven. So we see that he is our Lord and our King. And we see the psalmist here so beautifully says this prayer. And I suggest you, if you like to, I like choruses, short choruses. And this is a beautiful chorus that Maranatha singers do. And it's just a wonderful prayer before the Lord. And we see in Romans chapter 14, turn with me to Romans chapter 14. At verse 10, we see that here that the Lord's kingdom is going to come someday. And this is what the Apostle Paul tells us to think about. He says, "What by what dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." That's what we have to await us, the judgment seat of Christ. And that is something that we need to remind ourselves of. And I think in this prayer, the Lord, in the Lord's Prayer here, he wants us to remember that, yes, if we're believers in him, that we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to have to answer to him. It goes on to say in verse 11, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Every knee shall bow. "So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Every one of us. It's a very sobering thought. So friends, if you're not saved, you're going to answer to God in a different way. You're going to go to hell. To eternal judgment. That's what's in store for those who have not put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know for the believer, in Romans chapter 8, it says, "For there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's our goal now. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to walk after the Spirit and not to walk after the flesh anymore. But the worldly and unbelieving are still living completely after the flesh. They give no thought to God. God has not one thought in their minds. But brothers and sisters, if you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he wants to be in your thoughts all the time. And he wants you to recognize that he is our Father in heaven. And his name is hallowed. And that his kingdom is coming someday very soon. And he also wants us to keep in mind that he wants our will to be in his will, according to his will. That's why he says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He wants us to want what God wants. Bottom line. He wants us to want the same things. And that doesn't come by being doing good and doing charities and functions like that. Those are functional things, and those are nice things. But they're not the things that will bring us to want God's will. And I'll tell you why. What do we have to qualify that? I have one verse to share with you. And that is when the Lord Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked the Lord three times to let this cup pass from him. Three times. He didn't want to go. And what was his answer? Not my will, but thy will be done. So, brothers and sisters, we have the most wonderful example of all, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who said, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. And so we want to want what God wants. But, you know, it's also great to know that because he's our Father, Father knows best, doesn't he? Father does know best. Some old-timers here remember that TV show, but Father does know best. God knows what's best for us. That's why I was thinking earlier that even if we don't understand it, if God's word says it, and we acknowledge it and go into the will of God through it, God is blessed. And he's happy that as children we're obeying him. The bottom line is that he wants us to obey him. He wants us to follow him. And of course, Jesus Christ himself is our great example. And of course, we have the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2. He cites Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. So, as I said, in this first portion here of the Lord's Prayer, so-called, I like to call it really the Lord's Guide to Prayer. Not something to be wrote or said from memory without giving it any thought. You know what? I like to suggest one other thing about the Lord's Prayer. And I've tried this a few times, and I've had some interesting responses from it. But when I'm witnessing to people, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, I've asked them, do you know the Lord's Prayer? And I'd say 9 out of 10 would say, oh yeah, what about it? Now, I've heard this from atheists to agnostics to believers and believers of various religious persuasions. And I've asked them, I said, you know the Lord's Prayer? Yeah. And I get some pretty strong reactions one way or the other, but one I had was from an atheist. And he turned beet red when I asked him if he knew the Lord's Prayer. And he says, it was beaten into me since I was a little kid. Yeah, I know it. What about it? And I says, well, next time you think about it, think about the Lord. Think about what those words are really saying. You know, brothers and sisters, well, how much time do we have to witness to somebody? I know Matt was probably one of the most faithful men I know in distributing tracts, but how much time do you actually have? 5 seconds? 10 seconds? But if you tell them, think about the Lord's Prayer, it's already in their mind. It's already there. Get them thinking about God. And then maybe in the depths of their mind, it'll come up when they're sleeping on their bed at night, when they're waking up in the morning, in those quiet moments, or dare I say, for that matter, on their deathbed. You know, we're not going to have a chance to witness to them necessarily on their deathbed. But the Lord is faithful, and the Lord's word is true, and that can be remembered and brought to their memory, even on their deathbed. Try it. Just share it with them. You might get turned off completely, or you might engage in some wonderful conversation about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'd say in this first portion here, it's best for us to remember that the Lord is in control, and what he simply wants us is to agree with him. That is what repentance is. It's to no longer want things for ourselves, but to agree with God and want what God wants. And that's what I call the worship portion of this prayer. Going back to Matthew chapter 6, and we see here, and God, give us this day our daily bread. We see that through this part of it, he wants us to recognize that we depend upon him on everything. For not only our daily bread, our food, our jobs, everything. And it goes on and on. And in time, we owe him every day. He wants us to depend on him every day for all things. And he also wants us to think about the spiritual food that we have. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life. One of the 7 I ams that he said. He is the bread of life. He's the one that gives us that spiritual nourishment as the bread of life. And I think that it's important for us to remember that. And then let us not forget the Lord's Supper, that invitation that we have to worship him and remember him at the Lord's Supper, where we break the bread and drink the cup. And then in this next part, by the way, this part here is what I call the petitions that he's suggesting. We have petitions for ourselves, and we have petitions for others. And it's, I think, important for us first think about everything that the Lord supplies, all our needs, in this thought here about God, give us this day our daily bread. And then he goes on to talk about forgiveness. And this is interesting to me because I would think that this would be the first thing he'd put on the list. So I think he can change the list around a little bit, because many times I'll stop my praying by going to this thought here. And forgive us our debts or sins and trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Because I find it a hindrance when I'm going into prayer to have sin on me that is not confessed. And also when I feel as though I have sinned against someone else or if someone has sinned against me. There's a real hindrance there in my prayer time. So I think that he places it here as part of our petitions, but I feel as though I need to come to that sometimes before I worship him. But we see that debts are our trespasses and sins against God. And look, we don't always obey the Lord. He says to do certain things. We don't always do those things. But we love him. And we want to confess our sins to him. 1 John 1:9 speaks about confessing our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He wants us to forgive others. We see in Matthew chapter 18, we don't have time to read it now, but he wants us to forgive others. And he died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. Ephesians 4:32. Let me just read that one verse, because I thought that was a wonderful verse. It spoke to my heart when I read it. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, I believe it is. And be kind one to another. That's enough said right there, isn't it? Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, and then forgiving one another. And why? I always ask that question next. Why? Because the Lord seems to do that with the Word of God. He says, do this, or do that. Then he gives us examples about Christ or himself. Paul gives him examples about himself or whatever. But here he says, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Wow. Doesn't that speak to the heart? It speaks to mine. And then the next part of the prayer is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus told his disciples to rise and pray when he was in the garden, lest they fall into temptation. And he wants us to ask him to help us resist temptation. And sin is anything that disagrees with God's will. You know, some people, it's not a sin to be doing certain things in their life. But if you're before the Lord on it and the Lord shows you that it's sin, you got to confess it. You know, but there are a lot of sins that we're ignorant of, but I believe he forgives those as well. So any evil, he can keep us from evil, is any sin and any danger. Danger can come from anywhere, anybody, friends, or people that you know, but we need to depend on God to deliver us. We need to ask the Lord to help us, to deliver us from all these things, the temptation, really. And it's not until we're in prayer, really, that the Lord shows us our sinful condition. And praise the Lord that he does, because he wants us to become more like himself. And then finally, we see here this last part of the prayer, or the outline for prayer. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to just say that the heaven is his, the earth is his, the whole universe is his. Everything is his. It belongs to him. And then he is the one that has all the power over it all. He created it. And when I think of the power in the blood, we were talking about that earlier. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood to what? Save us from our sin, if we put our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the resurrection. There's the power in the resurrected life. We read in Philippians chapter 3. And then the duration, forever. Do we need to ask for more? That's why we need to trust and put our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we need to praise God with all our heart. And the Lord has given us a wonderful outline to use here in our prayer and to live our lives with him in worship and in petition for ourselves and for one another. And I just pray that the Lord would bless our hearts and encourage us to use this prayer. And for that matter, think about other portions of Scripture that you know that you love and try to use them in a similar way as a guide for your thinking. And it's a wonderful thing because I've been finding that true of other portions of Scriptures. And just pray that the Lord would encourage us as we go. It's 12 o'clock and I don't want to go over. So, Heavenly Father, we just praise thee and thank thee for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this time we had together to review your prayer, the Lord's prayer, and how we should be guided in our thinking as to how to worship you and how to pray and give petitions to thee for one another. So we just pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we leave today and give thee thanks and praise, for you are a holy and powerful and wonderful Savior. We give thee thanks in your Son's name. Amen.